So I asked her, I'm like, is there anything I can do to like improve this? And she went, nah, just shave it. So I stopped going to like
welcome
her.
Welcome to T-Smack home. And I welcome went to T-Smack. May I take your order?
And the place I used to go called Duke's went from like $8.99 to like $10.99. So I bought a wall for $20 and I just do it myself. Are you starting it in the middle of my story? Goddamn.
I didn't mean to, and then I just went with it.
Screw it, I'm keeping the that people.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Talking Smack, where we talk superheroes, movies, animation, and comics. I'm your host, Josh Scar, and I am very rude today. I did not mean to interrupt Alex's story and start the show in the middle of the story, but technology does not like me, so it did its thing. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm currently admiring two people with a lot better hair than I do.
You can't actually see my actual hair, which is a disaster like 90% of the time.
But you have it.
That's true. That's true.
Mine's fallen out, so I gotta let it grow while I can.
I've been rocking the Picard since I was like 21, so I'm gonna look about 32 for 40 years and then all of a sudden turn 85.
Is that how old you think you look?
Oh, shut the fuck up.
I mean, Matt and I have known someone since they were 16. They've been bald.
Yep, that's about when I started.
It was a similar situation where, yeah, the hair started to grow, to go out, and they were just like, I'm leaning into it, going bald.
And as you've heard, we are also joined by Matt this week. He is joining us to talk about Fallout, the new Amazon Prime series. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Fantastic. Other than, you know, Josh cutting me off because he's heard that story three times.
Yeah.
Well, we have to live up to the canon story that you're a tabaxi that lives in my basement. So unless you're an Egyptian tabaxi, I don't know what's happening here.
I'm a tabaxi with mange, okay?
I wish I had an Iago sound clip. I'm molting. I'm so upset I'm molting. Rest in peace, Gilbert Gottfried. Someone who can rot in hell OJ Simpson. So just getting that out there.
All right. Okay. All right. Coming in hot.
To steal about 75 internet jokes, OJ finally killed the killer.
Well, did OJ really kill the killer, or did cancer finally do something worthwhile?
You know what? Squeeze the juice. I don't
know. You guys let me know when you're ready to talk about the show, because I'm not getting this. You know what? You guys have your fun. I'll be over here.
Rage! Rage!
Well, before we kick me off the episode and let Matt and Alex run the show, we're going to hear from our friends Josh and Amanda over at the Super Familiar with the Wilsons podcast. We'll be right back.
The Super Familiar with the Wilsons podcast. You know that family whose house you hung out in when you were a kid? The house was a little loud and chaotic, but always fun, and sometimes felt more home than home. Well, that's us.
We're the Wilsons, and we welcome you into our podcast with silly chat, ridiculous games, and interviews with interesting people.
Like a spin doctor. The Super Familiar with the Wilsons podcast.
Welcome home.
And we are back. We're going to talk the Fallout series. I am actually probably going to be fairly quiet in the discussion of this because I'm a bad nerd and I don't like Fallout. So.
Okay, all right.
I'm sure Matt and Alex have played a little bit more than I have. I believe I played the intro to Fallout 3 because our buddy Josh Shu, he had his whole gaming setup in his basement and I saw him playing it, and like the slow motion sniper shots and kill shots and stuff was really cool, and I liked what I saw when he was playing it. And then I booted up the game on my Xbox or my 360 and I was just bored out of my mind within seconds.
Well, yeah, and Fallout 3 is like a notoriously like bad and slow moving opening where you're like it literally opens with the cliche of like, where does the story begin? Oh, it's when you're being born. I don't know that I would say that there is like a great game in there. It's definitely a game that I lost a bunch of time to, but it does take it. It's telling that a lot of mods are skip the intro. mods if you play on PC. So I guess should we kind of get into like what the show is, in case anybody like is listening and isn't aware of like
yeah I think that's doing? A great place to start.
Yeah. So, I mean, first, it's Fallout. It's based on, as we've alluded to, a long-running series of video games, which, if you don't know, those are basically open-world action RPGs that take place in, like, a post-nuclear wasteland where, within the world, there are these underground installations called vaults where, like, people from before the apocalypse went in with the assumption that we're going to live here, and then eventually, maybe a few generations from now, we will emerge from and repopulate the world, retake the world, whatever. In basically every game, you are playing as a vault dweller who is emerging into the world for the first time for some reason, some impetus pushes you up to the surface. Fallout is an adaptation of that series, although it's not adapting any of the specific games, is a similar setup where we...
It's important to note that it's also set 25 years after, I believe, Fallout 4. The producers of the show, which include one of the game developers or the game directors, they wanted to make sure that the show was not tied to any specific storyline within a game.
Yeah,
and they didn't want to set any continuity errors, so they set it deliberately 25 years after the latest game that came out.
Yeah, it is the furthest in the timeline, to the degree that that matters for any of these games. That's the furthest in the timeline. And the show, which is similar, where our main, we have a couple of different protagonists, but the one we first meet is named Lucy. She's a vault dweller who, when her home is attacked and her father's kidnapped, she emerges into the surface to go find him. But they're, you know, she's not the only protagonist. There's also Maximus, who is kind of an initiate in this techno-fascist, like, military cult, the Brotherhood of Steel, which is what the big suits of armor that you see for all these games are. And we also have a man who is basically like an immortal zombie called the Ghoul. He's like a cowboy bounty hunter who's been alive for centuries, and he's got his own ties to the pre-war world. And long story short, their stories are like sort of circling around each other, like they're coming together, moving apart, as they're all trying to, for various reasons, hunt down this MacGuffin and deliver it to a specific place or get it for their own reasons. And that's like the long and short of the show. And there's, you know, we're flashing back to, especially for the Ghoul, some of the pre-war context, because he was alive at that point. And then in Fallout, there are these things called ghouls, which is like when a human gets caught in a nuclear explosion, but for some reason does not die, they may just become an immortal zombie. So we're seeing some of the glimpses of like what happened through his flashbacks as well. And maybe I'll jump here. Josh, you sort of alluded to your history with Fallout. Like, are we all at least somewhat familiar with the games, I assume?
Let me tell you my experience with the Fallout games.
Okay.
Back in the day, there was a system called the PS3, and my friends had told me how Bethesda was fantastic at RPGs, since I love the Final Fantasy games and all that. So I got Oblivion.
You can't see me, but I'm doing this, listeners. I'm doing that thing where I move my hand side
by side.
You can't
see where, but he's doing that. He's doing the thing.
I'm doing the thing where I move my hand side by side and be like, are they?
But yeah, Bethesda's great at making open world games that are very immersive, but they're not great at storytelling.
According to our mutual friend, Josh
Shu,
Bethesda makes software that then people fix to have a game actually play. So I had Oblivion, which is famously the worst format to buy it on is the PS3, because they never finished patching it.
On the PS3, a famously difficult system to use for some people to develop for, yeah.
I got New Vegas. So many game-breaking bugs that I never finished it. I couldn't. So I was like, okay, I've been burned. And then my friends were excited, and they're like, hey, listen, you should get Fallout Shelter. I'm like, okay, which is just a iPhone game, which I did not have an iPhone, that was monetized and they let me play it sometimes. And I'm like, this is the game. And they're like, no, it's actually kind of like got a lot of lore stuff, but I haven't played the other games. It's like, okay, cool. And then they're just like, hey, listen, there's a new one coming out, it's fantastic, I know you like Star Wars The Old Republic, you want an MMO, you're gonna go for it, we're all getting Fallout 76. I'm like, okay, cool, fantastic, I will get it. Now I was gonna get it on my PS4 because I didn't have a great gaming rig at that time. My gaming rig could run The Old Republic well, but it couldn't, you know. So I was gonna get it. A week later, they're like, dude, this is the worst thing that ever happened, they don't even have good NPCs, there's no story, all this stuff. Is like, don't get it. I'm like, okay. I and then was looking at them and I'm like, what should I actually do to understand and get this world now that I've been burned by this company four times? And like, how about we just send you memes and story stuff? I'm like, okay, I can do that. So I understand, Pet Boy. I understand you pay with caps. I understand I took an arrow to the knee. I understand what the world and concept of Fallout is. I find it fascinating and wonderful. And in about 16 years, when Fallout 5 comes out, I will gladly, day 758, once all the mods have fixed everything, play it.
When you have a gaming rig that is too powerful to run it.
And I might be able to run it with, you know, Ultra HD 16K graphic quality. I am aware of the games. I've tried playing the games. But every time I've come close to actually being able to immerse myself, Bethesda said, here's a middle finger, please give us money, and I have failed.
Yeah, that's interesting. Real quick, while I'm thinking about it, I did not name any of the stars of the show in my rundown, and I apologize to them who I'm sure are listening for that.
They better be.
We've got Ella Purnell as Lucy,
who has the largest, most doe-eyed, I am a sweetheart, please stop hurting me. Look, they went, you know, Alita Battle Angel? Do we have somebody who almost fits that without the CGI? Her first introduction, she gives us her stats, which is fantastic. I'm skilled at this. I'm skilled at linguistics. And then the very next scene, because she's looking for approval to marry outside of the vault because she's related to too many people in the vault, she says, I can't believe I'm going to get married. After 10 years of cousin stuff, I get the real thing. What is cousin stuff?
You know what cousin stuff is. They basically say it. Anyway.
Alex, you don't know exactly need to what be it means. Explicitly said.
Okay, that's creepy.
They're like 25th generation vault dwellers. What else are they going to do?
They do basically say it later. I know, but that's weird. Yeah.
They did not need to say that in the show.
Well, they say it a couple times over the course of that first episode.
It answers the question that nerds are going to have. So you just get it over with. They're hanging a lantern on it.
Anyway, I was trying to do an aside about the stars of this show before I talked about my gaming experience.
Oh,
like
my apologies.
15 fucking minutes ago.
You're talking about the stars of Fallout. I thought you were talking about like me and Alex. Like you're going to talk about us for a second. Like, why is he?
Oh,
people have been listening. The 25 people talk about
that's,
it. Or, no,
that's
hang
interesting
out.
That's interesting that when I say stars of the show, your mind immediately goes to two of the people on this little round table, but not the other one.
You're a semi-regular co-host, Matt. You're not here every week. Matt, Alex and I are on a pretty good streak of like 13 or 14 straight weeks. No, sorry. Uh-huh. I missed a week and Justin joined in. Uh-huh. We had a good streak going.
Okay, to be fair, I'm on a streak of like 17. You're on a streak of like 15.
You gave me that week off.
Do I or do I not have one of those little cartoon avatars is my
you
question.
Do.
Of course yeah. You do.
Okay, so it's maybe adorable. Just think about that. When you're thinking about the stars in your mind.
Okay, Maximus, the squire of the Brotherhood of Steel.
Thank you, Alex.
It's played by Aaron Moten.
Yeah, and the ghoul, who is also Cooper Howard in his pre-ghoul life, is played by the one and only, your favorite of mine, Walton Goggins.
I love Walton Goggins.
Wally Goggs. Woo!
Now, Matt, you know, I realize you haven't really said what your experience with the video game franchise is.
You know, it is. First of all, I was not really mad before. I'm just doing a bit. I'm doing bits for the show.
Well, while we have a second here, we do also have to mention that Lucy's dad is played by the original Paul Atreides.
That's true. Kyle MacLachlan. Let's say their name.
But he was Paul Atreides in the 80s Dune movie. And he was also the captain in How I Met Your Mother.
How many people listening know that?
If Slade's listening, he would know who the captain is because he has talked about how I Met Your Mother is one of his all-time favorite shows.
Yeah. And also Kyle MacLachlan, if you haven't already realized, if he's in a show, he's probably a dick asshole and secretly the villain of something. And yeah. I have not finished the series, but the second I saw him on the show, I'm like, he's marrying his daughter off to somebody else in a different vault after 10 years of cousin stuff. He's probably a bad guy.
Okay. All right.
That is my suspicion.
Anyway, I am a little surprised to learn that I think I am the person who has played these games the most. And I don't mm-hmm. consider myself like a very hardcore Fallout fan. Like, we've mentioned it before, but in the show, there's a fair amount of like lore references and lore implications and whatever else. I don't give a shit about the lore of this game. Like, I do to a certain, I do to a certain extent, but like, I'm not like, oh yeah, like, and then the California Republic did this and then this and this. That's not why I'm playing these games. You know, I'm not uninterested. It's just like not a thing that I dig deep into. Anyway, I didn't really discover it until Fallout 3, which is, I think, true for a lot of people because they were sort of niche PC RPGs before that. And then Fallout 3 is when Bethesda takes over the series. They drop it on Xbox 360 and PS3. And I played the hell out of that game. Like, that game was huge at the time when it comes out, I think 08. And I didn't actually beat it for like several years after that. It was a game that I sort of picked away at, you know, every once in a while I'd get into a jag of playing for X number of hours before I finished that and all the DLC and stuff. I've dabbled in New Vegas. I have played a fair amount of Fallout 4, but I didn't beat it. I did play a very little amount of Fallout 76 because my brother managed to snag me a code when he was working at GameStop. So we both ended up with codes and I was like, free's a good price for what I'm hearing about this game. And, you know, so I've dabbled a little bit and I've heard it's gotten much better, but it was not very good when it first came out. So really 3 and like some other stuff here and there is my main exposure to the series. Really the Bethesda era of the series, which is fitting for this just because Bethesda owns the series and therefore they're the ones who are like shepherding this in part. And they're the ones who are like giving the notes in terms of like, what's the lore? What can we do with the lore? So.
Yeah. And I know broad strokes, like we said, the game that I started playing and after like 2 hours just put down and never went back to, you get a general idea of what's going on. You understand that. I think they put you through like a quiz at the beginning of the game to get you to understand the history of the
sort
world.
Sort of. And it's also, I think it's also a way to like start doing your stats too. It's one of the ways they mask like, oh yeah, you answered this and we'll give you points in this or whatever.
But that's right. That, yeah. Yeah. It's like 220 some odd years into the future after a 1963 nuclear or 1960s nuclear
2077.
Fallout.
2077 is when 70.
At the end of the first episode, it said like 200, like 2077 to 200, like 19 years later or something like that. I swear.
Let's see. Because you might be right. Like I said, I don't give a shit about the lore.
Well, okay, so that's actually one of my main questions that I never quite understood, is why is everything so 50s, 60s tech if it's 2077? Is it like, it's not supposed to be Earth, or is it supposed to be like an adjacent Earth?
Well, it is Earth, but like the whole idea, and I don't know how much of this is like added in from Bethesda after, or how much it's baked into the original two games that were by... I think it's Interplay, and then eventually that studio shutters and then forms Obsidian, which are the people that developed New Vegas, which is why that one's the best one. anyway, so I think it's less about the fact, like the factual verisimilitude of like, oh, it looks like this, even though life in 2024 or whatever looks like this. As it is just about like the pastiche of Americana, right? So I think it is like, to the degree that any of this is like understood to be our world, I think it is like not supposed to be like some alternate timeline, or I guess it would be an alternate timeline, whatever, but it's like not supposed to be like, oh, some other planet somewhere.
Yeah. I guess it'd be more like a Jetsons kind of future where it's, we never really outgrew the 60s or the 70s or that became the new thing in like 2040 when they started building things again and just kind of stuck around. Which I apologize, I didn't catch that it was set in like 2077. Which explains the skyline. I was like, oh, okay, I guess this is like an alternate reality Earth where it's a retro futuristic world where it's semi futuristic but it's still the past, and then we jump forward
in
time.
Confusion from initial question lies in like the whole conceit of Fallout 76, which is, it's called this because the idea is that like, that's when the first vault dwellers emerge, is like not in 76, not 77, obviously, as like the tricentennial celebration of America. Like, we're back and everybody's starting to leave the vaults again or something. So that one is like the one that is that takes place like earliest in the timeline, because which was also their justification for no NPCs at first. So it's the first people to emerge from the vault. So I was thinking that, even though it's like, if we're looking at the chronology again, to the degree that I give a shit about it at all, that it's like 100 years after what you're asking about.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, so that makes sense. I thought Fallout 76 was the vault that they came out of.
It is also that, I believe.
It is also that, I believe. Oh, yeah. Of course. So let's actually get into this. We're not going to go full spoilers, only because the binge model is ass.
Yep.
And we basically, as a group, came to the agreement that we will discuss up to what the last person watched. I was able to passively watch this up to the finale between Thursday and Friday. Matt, you just finished it, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, right before I hopped on. And, you know, and it's interesting just because something I've been thinking about and seeing a lot of chatter about with the show, it's an 8-episode season. They dropped it all at once on Thursday. A lot of people are like, there is no reason to have dropped this all at once. I think it was like, you know, all the big sites that do write-ups, like AV Club, Vulture, things like the Variety, whatever, you know, 24 hours later, they're doing their like finale recaps, right?
Yep.
Which is like, people are going to forget about this show in a week when like people are really digging it. It's got some momentum right now. It could have, that could have been sustained over 8 weeks and could have had people talking about it for 8 weeks, but you decided for some reason to dump it all at once. And I don't understand why.
I think maybe if they did like a month where they dropped 2 episodes per week, I think that would have been sustainable for them.
Sure.
But through my experience, I don't know that this show up until the last like 3 episodes really holds its water, that this would have been a really good week to week viewing experience. Like it's not entirely fair. It's a very different style of video game adaptation. But The Last of Us, I think, had a more intriguing world, a more intriguing cast and premise that the week to week worked really well for The Last of Us.
Sure.
Where this one, like I said, I think if they did like 2 episodes per week for a month, I think that would have worked out really well for them. But just dropping it all at once, I think, allows people to pace themselves into whatever they feel like watching at the time. Because I feel like my Thursday viewing, I ended on episode 5. I think I like just started and I had like 45
Josh,
minutes.
They dropped that shit at like 7 p.m.
I know. Was it Thursday? Yeah, they dropped it like 7 p.m. Wednesday night, like Pacific time Wednesday night. And then so it was available
like,
Thursday
are you
morning.
Up till midnight to watch this?
No, show, I watched Josh, it during work. I said I watched it during work.
Take care of yourself, man.
I did. I watched it during work, so the work wasn't killing me.
Well, I wasn't listening when you said
that. Segment clear sending to Josh's bus.
I said passively when we started. I passively watched. But I started episode 5 with like 45 minutes left in my shift for work. And I was just like, I can stop here. I have no desire to keep going. I'll just get back to it. And then thankfully, the next morning when I got into a good spot where I could passively watch again, the last 3 episodes really ramped up and I was like, okay, yeah, no, I'm in for this. So I think this is not a show that would have retained the viewership of like The Boys or The Last of Us, or I don't even know if Jack Ryan, I don't know what their retention numbers were, but this, I don't know that this is a general audience can approach this kind of show without a recommendation. Like I told my in-laws, I told my in-laws like, oh, definitely check this out. I think it's right up your alley, at least my father-in-law. And my mother-in-law would probably just like passively watch it while she scrolls through whatever on her phone. But for general audiences, I don't know that this is as approachable or maybe even as engaging as other shows would be.
Yeah, I agree and I disagree, because I don't usually binge, and I didn't binge here. I watch pretty much a couple episodes a day where I could between then when it dropped and now, and I don't consider, you know, 2 episodes a day as not a binge, and it's a short season anyway. But I don't know. I thought each episode. Well, I think that it's absolutely true that like the cast is not as strong as like Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey. Like, who could be, right? But you know, I thought every episode. Although Walton Goggins is pretty close.
Yeah, he's up there.
Yeah.
There are legitimate actors. Like this cast is very good for what the show needs them to do.
Well, yeah. And like, I was surprised. I mean, we can get into this later. How many actors show up that I'm like, oh, that person's going to be in a major role because that's who that is. Michael Emerson is the main person I'm thinking of where he shows up. He's a guy, you know, from TV. He was on Lost. He was on Person of Interest. I think the show was called. He's been on a bunch of stuff and he shows up and he is in one episode and that's it. Like that's his episode. And like Kyle MacLachlan, minor spoilers, he shows up in the first episode and he shows up in the last episode and that's it. And that's like, okay, I was not expecting them to just like pull Fred Armisen cameos in an episode.
Spoilers, yeah. And, and Chris Parnell, like they're in the same Chris episode Parnell. Together. Like, sorry, Alex, minor spoilers.
Michael Rappaport.
Yeah. Matt Berry.
Yeah.
And Michael Rappaport gets a scene. I don't know how much he is one of the mm-hmm. Brotherhood of Steel Knights who are like in these big, you know, kind of body covering, face covering art pieces, suits of armor. I don't know how much he's in that suit. I would guess not much, but he is on camera with his face speaking in his voice for like a scene, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like lots of sort of throwaway.
Well, you have Blind Owl. She's in like every other episode that I've seen.
She's in like half the season.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, I was saying, I thought every episode was pretty good about like, maybe it wasn't as engaging or it wouldn't have kept as much attention, but like, you know, every episode is called something like, you know, the second episode is called The Mark or like
the Target
the Bounty or whatever. The Target. Yes. And it's about that guy. And then there's an episode about, I think it's the next episode called The Head, because spoilers, the whole thing that they want from him is in his head. It's not actually him. So he dies and they cut off his head and start batting that around. And it's about everybody hunting, trying to get their hands on or keep their hands on the head. And then there's the episode that I think it's called The Past. I think that might be episode 5 where like one of the main things we're doing in that episode is digging into the ghoul's life before the war. I thought every episode was like really solid at like kind of being a sort of chapter in a story that can not stand on its own because it's part of the big story, but it is like sort of centered around a theme
mm-hmm.
in a way you don't always see with streaming shows like this where they dump it all at once and it's intended to be watched in 48 hours or whatever. So sometimes they are kind of mushed together. I think that maybe you might have a point where like maybe people would have fallen off halfway through or whatever if they didn't drop more episodes. But as I'm someone who's like thinking about, okay, like the utility of an episode of television as a unit, I was kind of surprised that it was like, okay, each episode is doing a thing and it's telling its own sort of segment of the story that doesn't feel like it is totally just...
It's not reaching beyond into the end game of the season, at least. And I think that's a fantastic point. I think that's maybe what I was trying to get at in my long-winded way of doing it, was that each episode is very much just, it's its own thing, really. And it, by the end of the episode, the person's just back on the journey. It's really just kind of, it's not derailing because everything is always about Lucy trying to find her father, the ghoul trying to find the head, Maximus doing whatever Maximus is doing until he meets Lucy. The story always feels secondary to whatever journey Lucy is on. And then the ripple effect that creates, like the journey is to find her father, but she's also naive and trying to navigate her way through the wasteland that has its own set of laws and rules. And she's been raised in this incestuous Mr. Rogers neighborhood.
Yeah.
So it's more about Lucy and her journey as a character than it is about the MacGuffin and getting to the end game. And I think that's where the show did itself a favor by dumping it all at once, which I think also the fact that it is a quality show kind of put a lot of stuff to rest, because I know everyone anymore, if it's not a Netflix show and someone's a studio is dumping it all at once, everyone just goes, uh-oh.
Yeah, the assumption is that it's being... Yeah, we saw that. I have not gotten around to watching Echo yet, right? But that was the assumption for Echo when Disney decided, unusually for them, to dump mm-hmm. it all at once as opposed to do the week to week. And, you know, I think maybe another place where I maybe slightly differ, and again, I think we're mostly on the same page, but I think in terms of like the release structure, And we'll never know, right? Because who knows what would have happened if they released, you know, over 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. But I do think that, like, that character stuff is, like, you know, again, if we're using The Last of Us as a metric, like, not as strong as that, but it is, like, the reason to keep going, right? Like, I don't, you know, I give a shit about them finding the head or whatever insofar as that's the story. But if it was just that stuff, I think it would be a much worse show. Like, all the character stuff is, like, the stuff that makes it good and interesting, especially where so much of it...
Lucy's progression, the mystery behind the ghoul, Maximus, and, like, what is he going to do with his ordeal that he's in. Again, I don't want to spoil too much. So, like, yeah, I think all that stuff is really good, and I think it does play into the game as well, where the story is kind of secondary to what the world-building stuff is.
Yeah. You can absolutely go out. It's like any open world game. You can go hours and hours and hours if you want, if you so choose, without.
Well, hell, the ghoul even says in like episode 4, which is a side quest, some bullshit always comes up to sidetrack you. it literally drags her away from
exactly.
the plot.
That's true. Yeah.
But hey, we get Matthew Berry, and that's okay.
That's one thing I will say. If you watch Prime on your phone or if you watch it on your tablet, if you just do a little tap on the screen on the side and you like get the time bar, you also get the cast list. So the minute that robot showed up, I was like, I know who that is. Tap. Yep. Matt Berry. I knew it.
Well, that happens at least on my smart TV as well. And it's always interesting, especially because this is how I'm pretty sure he is the guy who voices those robots.
That'd be amazing.
And I did not know that until now.
Now, I will have you know that feature is called X-Ray, and it is patented by Amazon.
Yeah.
So Amazon, not a sponsor, but you should be. Because now I'm also going to slightly trash your binge model. Now, Amazon is bizarre because, like, Clarkson's Farm, the grand tour, week to week. They have The Boys, which is they do, like, two episodes like on a Tuesday to start the season, and then like Thursday they release the next episode, so you get three in a week, and then it's week to week to week, stuff like that. Then there's other things, like they tried with Lord of the Rings, dumping two the first week and then week to week after that. This they announced it was all gonna be at once on a Thursday, then push it like 5 hours early. I don't know what the hell they're doing with their marketing department, because I don't understand the intention of it. Like, if you want a miniseries, this TV used to have events. Sam Neill did Merlin, which was a 4-hour epic release thing, and it was just 2 weeks. If you want to go back to like the 70s, or was it the 70s, you had Roots, which is like 4 2-hour episodes over like 5 days. It was phenomenal. They have a model that you can create this water cooler talk of keeping the show around. I think the show is stronger then we're giving it credit for, because I started watching it. The first 8 minutes, I think, is phenomenal. And you get a flashback to the past with Walton Goggins, like, down on his luck with his daughter there. He's a former TV star. They allude to something he doesn't want to talk about. And then you get this beautiful atomic bombs being dropped over. I'm assuming it's LA. I think it's. And it is one of the most horrifying and gorgeous depictions of nuclear war I've ever seen.
And big credit to the girl that plays his daughter.
Amazing job.
For a child actor, she conveyed that fear so well, because there's this whole thing where he's like, oh, if the explosions or the smoke plume, whatever, is bigger than your thumb, no point in running. But if it's smaller than your thumb, you're fine.
Yeah.
And so, like, she sees the explosion, she puts up her thumb, and you just hear her with like this quakiness in her voice, and asks her dad as desperately as she can, is it my thumb or yours?
Yeah.
I mean, and like, you just get it all. And I'm just like, give that girl work, treasure her,
phenomenal,
and protect her. And she is going to be an amazing actress if she wants to continue to pursue it.
Oh yeah. So it was, I think,
sorry, Tegan Meredith plays Janie Howard. That's who she is. Fantastic.
The first episode's about an hour 15, and it's probably around 45, 50 minutes, sometime around the whole betrayal that happens in the vault, which we talk about, Lucy's dad, Kyle MacLachlan, getting kidnapped. My wife comes in to the room, and she sits down, And after like a minute and a half, I paused and say, do you want me to catch you up or not? And she was like, yeah, I don't know anything about Fallout, so might as well. So I gave her the quick recap. Nuclear explosions, Walter Goggins, awesome. She's adorable. Betrayals happened. Let's go. And we've now been watching it. Yeah, we made up to episode 4. I will give a trigger warning to anyone who starts episode 2. There is puppy side. It is horrifying. Because if the puppy is under 10 ounces, you chuck it in the incinerator and they show that. Oh. And by the look on your two faces, you both miss that.
Yeah,
no. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the thing with the act, like the dog where he gets where he stabs the dog.
I'm talking about the puppies. The little puppies. Yeah.
I caught that, but I completely forgot. Yeah.
I didn't notice that one at all. I did catch the later thing, which again, they backtrack on that. They don't John Wick the dog, at least the full grown dog. Oh no, I do remember that. I just, again, passively watching it. But yeah, it's in the medical lab or the whatever.
Yeah, where the kind of pans past a guy tossing something into the thing, and it says, you know, if specimens are under 10 ounces,
yep.
And then cuts to him, he's measuring and kind of cheating it to
say dogs and stuff. And so I mentioned to one of my friends who's a dog trainer, and he's like, oh yeah, I was passively watching it. I missed that. I just saw him write down 10 and carry a dog away. I'm like, oh good. He's like, yeah, I would have turned it off if I had actually seen the first part, because he's a dog trainer. That's what he does. But yeah. I immediately stopped and bless the website. Does the dog die? I looked, is a CX-404 a good dog and lives? They're like, the dog's fine. And I went, I will keep watching the show.
Yeah. I was really shocked when, well, because another thing is like many of these games have, they have like companions you can collect and find and bring with you. And there's often a dog that looks exactly like mm-hmm. that dog. It's, you know, one of the things that is sort of a kind of a reference. So I was like, oh, okay. Like that dog was in the marketing. I think that dog's going to be around. And then when he gets stabbed, he's stabbed by the ghoul. When he attacks the ghoul, I was like, oh shit, they just killed that dog. I was not expecting that. And then later he like gives him drugs. And dies. I'm alive.
The most amazing drugs.
An HP potion.
Yeah. Nice stim pack. All of a sudden the dog literally stands up completely healed. I'm like, I need a stim pack for like my right knee, my left elbow. Yeah.
I need one for my metabolism, please.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I don't mean to keep backtracking to like the binge model, but you raise a really great point that we've talked about ad nauseum here, which is the binge model it creates an uneven playing field.
Yeah.
Because like I sent a tweet to you that really pissed me off, because it was like less than 24 hours after the show had dropped on Amazon and someone tweeted out, finally finished watching Fallout. Like it's less than 8 hours of viewing. And it's been out for 24 hours. And if you have nothing else to do, like, what do you mean finally? It's been out for a day. Not even. Like, chill the F out. And losing that cooler moment where it's, you get to have a conversation about an episode that happened. Like, in, let's just say more recently, House of the Dragon or The Last of Us. Like, they're, because it's week to week, you have to talk about it with someone, and like everyone's on the same playing field. Everyone's seen the episode. And if someone's like a day behind, they'll watch it like on Max or whatever within the next day or two. Mm-hmm. In this, we're already on an uneven playing field. Matt and I have finished the show.
Yeah.
Alex, you're on episode 4 or 5.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, we have to restrain ourselves to make sure we're not spoiling anything for you. And because we're good friends, that's what we're doing. But
appreciated.
If you're trying to talk to someone at the water cooler and they're an asshole, they're going to, oh man, I can't, the Statue of Liberty from Ghostbusters just showed up at the end of the episode. And now they're going to New York to do some bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because for me, it's also the way I avoid those water cooler conversations is I just work at home. So it's me and myself. Anyway, but
scare
like
scare yourself with your reflection in your fridge.
Yeah. I remember when I think I caught the last two seasons of Breaking Bad when they were airing as opposed to on Netflix or DVD or whatever. And like, there is something about like watching, and this was, I caught this with Better Call Saul also as a related project. There was something about watching like a really just fucking good episode of television.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the next week, maybe longer, if it's like a season finale or something, it just sits with you, right?
Oh, yeah.
You find yourself thinking about it like days later. And you're like, oh man, that fucking ruled. Or, oh, I just thought of this that recontextualizes this scene or whatever. On top of those conversations you may be having with friends. And, you know, I don't begrudge anyone a binge.
No.
Like if they want to binge no. something, or if that's how they prefer to watch something, that's fine. Something that I think happened a lot in when Netflix became big, that we're still sort of coming out of, was there was a sense that like, oh, this is how TV should be.
Yeah.
Like it should always just drop all at once and then I can watch it as I want to.
Right.
And there's value in that. Mm-hmm. I think like being able to pull up any episode of To Be Me, like any Star Trek that I want to watch at any point is great. But there's also, you know, I like having that anticipation. I like not having to feel like, oh, if I didn't want to watch it in 48 hours, I'm not going to feel like I'm behind. I'm not going to be part of the reason that it gets canceled because for some reason that's the only thing Netflix cares about. Whatever else, because I don't like to binge. I like to take my time. Mm-hmm. At least, like, you know, I'm watching like an episode a day, maybe.
Yeah.
But there's just something about, you know, it turns out we figured out what television was, and it was the thing we're all going back to, which is
yeah.
And like, I mean, right now Shogun is a big thing that I've seen a lot of people talking about, and I've been enjoying it. Like you said, just kind of marinating in each episode as it comes out. This most recent episode teases a big to do. And I've just been on pins and needles waiting for Tuesday to get here so I can watch the next episode. Whereas with this, like I said, it's a fun show. It's probably the second best video game adaptation behind The Last of Us. And I think it's very good quality. I don't think there's any real drop in visual effects or in immersion or anything like that. It does what it sets out to do, and I think it does a really good job with it. It's just, and maybe it's more to do with the source material, but I just don't think it's as engaging as other things have been in terms of adaptations, or in this case, just a sci-fi TV drama.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting, if we are, again, using The Last of Us metric, that is also a story that is designed from the ground up to be much more cinematic in its original presentation than any given Fallout game, which is more about the exploration and there's a story there, but it's much less about having bespoke characters act out scenes like they're in a movie, which The Last of Us was, and then they were mostly able to translate that very well to TV.
Yeah, and to reiterate, I said early on, it's not necessarily a fair comparison because, like you said, you're adapting very different game genres and intentions within the games because, like you said, The Last of Us is very story-driven, very cinematic, whereas this is an open-world exploration game, so you have to create different kinds of expectations, and that's where I'm trying to be a little more fair. And I do praise the cast. The production team did an absolutely amazing job. The costume designs, the set designs, all of it is just off the walls accurate to the game. And it stands out high above most anything else I've seen on TV, especially for an adaptation.
Yeah. I mentioned The Last of Us only because we keep coming back to it, not because, you know.
Yeah, and it is the metric. Like it's for any medieval fantasy movie that comes out anymore, it's gonna be The Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like those are the two flag bearers for that genre.
See, I would compare it more. I don't think it's fair to compare it to The Last of Us, because if you're comparing it to The Last of Us, you're comparing it to a story that was written with the intention of you play this their story for 6 to 10 hours and something like that. You need to compare this to the Resident Evil TV series. This is an adaptation it's an adaptation of the world with an original story set within it. And if you're comparing it against that metric, this show is phenomenal compared to what we got over there. I mean, rest in peace, Lance Reddick. You were amazing. God bless you. You were the best part of a terrible show. And you were the best Wesker we've ever had. Bless you.
You know what? First, I honestly, when you said Resident Evil show, I was like, I'm not going to correct him. They were movies, because I completely forgot that they did a fucking TV show.
Isn't it like Welcome to Raccoon City or something like that?
No, that was a different movie.
That was a different movie. That was Jesus. That was the faithful adaptation of the first game, and it was bad. Also, our most liked Facebook post.
It's true. That and The Proud Family. We like those are That's a really weird dynamic right there. Yep. I do want to say one more thing before I forget, because it's bothering me now that you mentioned it. Amazon's release model is just ass, because I watched Invincible, and season two debuted in like holiday season 2024 or 2023. They did, I think, like 4 episodes, and then they took 8-10 weeks off, and then they came back, and the show was releasing on Wednesdays, came back, released an episode that Wednesday, then they started releasing on Thursdays, but then the finale was coming on, they're like, oh, it's going to be out on Wednesday, and then it released on a Thursday.
Weird. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, then, like you mentioned, this show, like, I think it got pushed up a couple times, and then even the day before it came out, they're like, oh, by the way, we're releasing it tomorrow instead of when we said a day later.
I would love to know what drove that, whether it was the perception that it was bad and they're like, if we don't release it sooner rather than later, it's people are going to think it's bad because we're dropping it all at once and it's just growing.
Go back to the story. I think that the story is actually pretty strong. I'm only 4 episodes through it. You know, I'm happy at the halfway point of the season, but I'm invested in her story. I like Juan Goggins as the ghoul is just, he's brilliant.
He never misses. That man does not miss, no matter what he's in.
The show, I love their use of like practical effects in the world. I dislike some of the obvious like blood and gore. You know, they don't use squibs and stuff like that, except for certain parts of it, which is really kind of annoying because you're like, oh yeah, CGI gore, okay. But then it comes, then right, there's real gore, and it's like, geez. I am invested in his story because he, everyone is telling Lucy, which, by the way, hysterical, when they said my name, when she introduced herself as I'm Lucy McClane, I went, you're not from Die Hard. Later, my wife did not hear her full name because she came in like late in the first episode, and then they're like, Lucy McClane, and Liz went, Die Hard? Because, yes, John McClane's daughter's name is Lucy McClane. But
there were only 2 of those movies.
There's only 1 season of this show. But I'm invested in her story because when he has captured her and forcing her to walk through the desert, and she finally gives in because she's been parched and beaten and starts drinking the radiated water while her whatever the arm thing is called is going off. Letting her know, this is dangerous. Don't open it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And she's just downing it at all. Well, even he did not actually drink it because it cuts to the side. He's actually kind of pouring it down the side of his face. Even he won't drink that shit.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about that shit.
Yeah, and then, you know, we had the whole scene with Snip Snip, which God bless Matt Berry and Snip Snip. And then you see her struggling still to try to keep her the goodness, even though everybody she runs into is like, oh, girl, you shouldn't be here. Oh, you vaulty, you should not be here.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see like how far she's willing to go after what she intentionally did in the 4th episode. And I'm also glad that they made his character intelligent, because why he took her to Snip Snip, she came out and gave him what he wanted. But then I'm like, wait a second, there's more of that inside. Is he just stupid enough to walk away? And no, he goes inside and he sits down on the couch amongst the gore she has created with everything he wants. And I'm like, this is a turning point for him.
Yeah, and it solves like the one, and it also solves like the one problem they've established for him.
Yes,
like, as an ongoing stakes, he needs this liquid to like not become feral or whatever, this kind of medicine. Now, that's never going to be an issue with the rest of the series because we have seen him like hit the jackpot.
Yeah, basically. And then with Maximus, his journey from
Squire.
Aspiration, whatever.
Yeah, basically like an initiate.
Yeah, initiate to then squire to now knight. In these 4 episodes, he's already had the growth from embittered to like pissed off to I'm going to be the best embodiment of what they're supposed to be. And then immediately he's just abusing his power. Yeah. He immediately pivots that. And I'm like, okay, so what is his journey going to be? I do think they're strong enough to sustain, maybe not a weekly, but at least like a methodology of like The Boys. Drop 2 to 4 episodes in the first week, get the rest of them throughout. Because if you're not invested by episode 3, which I think is damn strong, episode 4 is even stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Josh's suggestion of 2 to a week, yeah, like over the course of a month, that's still pretty good, you know?
Yeah, and that's to say we haven't touched on that there is the secondary story that in episode 4 got really good suddenly, where
back in Vault 33
with a blind owl and Rico Suave from Hannah Montana, that there's corruption within like Vault 32. Something is going on, and there is this wonderful satire moment where they have, you know, the raiders that kidnapped Lucy's dad. Some of them were then captured, and they're talking about what to do with it, and they're like trying to have opposing arguments over who should be the new overseer. And it's this beautiful satire of happy-go-lucky, like, oh, we'll just fix people. What should we do? Well, they're uneducated, so let's teach them Shakespeare. You know? and it's like, oh, yeah, and they probably need math. Well, I'll give them pre-calc.
Too highbrow for them. Maybe we should start with some more basic stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And but then there's something going on in Vault 32, the vault that they thought the raiders were from and killed everyone. And so there's another brewing mystery back there. And I am enjoying watching the facade of the vaults crumble.
Yeah.
And I want to get to episode 8 because I want to know how much that facade falls in Lucy and how much Maximus as a knight can rise. Because he's already had his embittered moments. We don't know what happened with his friend Dane. They kind of allude that he might have did it, but then they don't. But then it never really, Dane may believe he did it or not.
Yeah, his whole story starts out, just to give context, where he's got another friend who's at the same level who gets bumped up to squire, and then that same night they are like horrifically injured by a razor in their boot.
Oh, which so that then, was nasty.
Yeah, so then they can't do that anymore, and then Maximus is accused and denies it, and it is left a bit ambiguous as to whether or not he did it or not. When I watched it, I was inclined to believe him, but then he ends up getting bumped up to squire instead. And then that starts his whole journey as he leaves the enclave with one of the soldiers, then the lowercase E enclave, because there is a faction called the capital E enclave, which the show barely touches on, which is very interesting to me.
By the way, I will say to defend the show's writing, that scene where he is interrogated by the clerics of whether or not he did it with the knight, the Brotherhood of Steel, marching behind him. Basically, the clerics basically are just like, we don't give it, we believe you did it, we don't give a crap, whatever it is, you failed us in everything you've ever done. And then the subtle manipulation to work, not he doesn't manipulate them, they manipulate basically him into testifying against nothing,
right,
so that they can keep, and they decide to keep him, is just was a brilliant piece of just mind fuck.
Yeah.
Another thing I'd really love to praise about this is the way they're able to convey and emote through that Brotherhood armor, especially Maximus once he's in there, and also when his knight Titus is initially in there, like even just them going like fuck, 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 the way it's conveyed through the voice modulator, it still comes across as funny. And it works so well. There is no stone left unturned in the production value of this show. I think.
But yeah, I'm like, you know, it's so wild. I don't know. I'm sure there's some kind of CGI effects. It's to some degree, whether it's the number of them we see or
the grayscale of the show, I think helps cover up a lot of those CGI effects.
They built like working, at least one set of working power armor to use on this show. Like they like busted it out at the Game Awards where it Walton Goggins and one of the other stars, I forget who now, and like somebody in power armor just like walked out on stage, which is like kind of incredible. Where, you know, it's weird sometimes when I catch myself thinking, oh, that's a real set,
yeah,
or, oh, that's a real prop, because so much now is done on green screen that it's almost like sad when I'm like, oh shit, they like really built a set for this vault, you know, even if they may be putting some backgrounds up or something.
Yeah, it's the Marvel effect. In Iron Man was at 1 and 2, they had him in a full suit, and then after that it was a helmet and a bodysuit he walked around in, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
It's that thing. It's like they actually built it, which, you know, which you appreciate when like Edge of Tomorrow or Live Die Repeat, whatever you want to call it, they walked around in mech suits for that movie. They struggled with that, which is great. But I find this journey very interesting. I'm happy to finish the next four episodes, probably over the next week or so. And I want to see where this journey actually takes me. Apparently there's rumors already working on season two, which we've already, you know, talked ad nauseum about it. The binge model of, you know, what is it? Great TV, peak TV or whatever, where we don't get actually shows every year. We get them every 18 to 24 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which then kills momentum and stuff.
Yeah. And you have to wonder too, cause like, I don't know how much this would have been impacted, this show specifically, but you know, there are shows that would have come out this year. Like, I think, you know, again, to be me, I think Stranger New Worlds is a show that is getting pushed to 2025 because of the strikes too, which I think strikes were good and necessary. And I think it's, they needed to happen, but also it does extend that sequence where, you know, the final season of Star Trek Discovery is airing right now, whatever you think of it. The last season was in 2022. We're like, we're getting these huge short seasons and then large gaps in between them, I think has people maybe like forgetting about a show at all or forgetting what happened in it or what.
Yeah, we definitely forget because Ricky and I just finished Halo season two, which the first four episodes of that were immensely better than anything that happened in Halo season one. But we didn't remember jack shit that happened in season one. Like, there's a character that shows up early on in the first episode, and the chief is like giving a briefing about the event that happened in the opening sequence. And they're like, well, that person's dead. And Ricky and I looked at each other because it's like a main character from season one. And we're like, did they die? They didn't even do like they didn't even do a previously on in the first episode. They did not even acknowledge season one unless it was like in exposition.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll say it once, say it 1,000 times. We figured out TV in the 90s and we have fallen. We're a fallen society.
TGIF, man. This is the best time ever.
I'm really curious, and you know, this is kind of thing that I don't think maybe it's probably not worth like a second episode of this, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts when you finish this. I'm not saying this because I think there's anything like incorrect that you're saying that I'm trying to subtly tell you, but it was so interesting realizing
it's more
in the
overt.
Back half in the back half of the season, one of the things that was interesting to me was the ways I was realizing, oh, like there are a lot of like thematic through lines for the various characters that are very similar.
Yeah.
In ways that maybe are not, for at least for me, maybe I was missing some stuff that were not as obvious to me until it was like maybe a little after the midpoint. I was like, oh, this character and this character are kind of on similar trajectories, but in different ways, in ways that I may not have realized in those first four episodes. And I wonder if that will like how that will hit you.
Yeah. No, I mean, which, Josh is up for it. We can do like in a few weeks or a bonus episode or something.
I'll gladly come back and watch it again and like relitigate just to see if my opinion of the, I think it's in terms of storytelling, I think it's an above average show. I don't think it's fantastic. I don't think it's anything that again is going to grab the zeitgeist, but I do think that it is something that could gain a cult following. It's a very good adaptation or interpretation of a video game world.
Yeah.
And it does the one thing that I love, I want more out of in video game movies and adaptations, is it just puts you in the world. It doesn't create some weird, stupid contrivance of this was the real world and now it's this, or now you're in this world.
Yeah. And I mean, I think so far the early buzz, which is I think another reason that the distribution model was so on top of mind, is that the early buzz from people who are seeing it is like extremely positive, which is I think one of the reasons people are like, you know, there's no zeitgeist for this show because the model is such that all the conversation, like all the things that might fuel conversation, like people writing articles about it, people writing recaps of it, is done in 24 hours. Like that guy who like finally finished it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Things like that. So like it's interesting because it's such a well-received show, but it feels like its moment is going to come and go really quickly because of the way it drops.
Yeah. And especially because The Boys comes out in early June, and that's going to just dominate Amazon's.
Yeah. That's
views.
That's their big show. Yeah. You know, and I would definitely be interested in if there's like a bonus episode, but you know, we could also talk about it offline. Our lives don't have to be content.
Yeah, I mean,
if you boys want to get back on mic, I'll get back on mic.
If we need content for anything, or we just want to relitigate anything, we could always just do it on the Discord as well.
Yeah.
Ooh,
boy, the Talking good, Smack
what
Discord.
A great segue.
Have yeah, you so, all joined it? I mean, before we finish the segue, though, we do have to give the ratings, which is, I will say this is a must-see. I think this is a show that, like I said, it'll gain a cult following because people are recommending it and people will enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, does anyone else have, like, final thoughts before we're wrapping up?
No real final thoughts for me other than that. Like, if you guys want to share your must-sees and or passes and final thoughts, that way you can do that.
Yeah, because I feel like I talked a lot. I don't want to, like, step over anything. Make sure you get everything you want to say.
Oh, no, so. Like I said, I'm 4 episodes in. The characters are strong enough and the stories are strong enough that I want to finish this out. I find the world engaging. I understand, you know, I can't do the Leo point thing with everything, but the world is fascinating. Like, even like the little moment where Maximus's suit gets damaged, so he has to have one part fixed, and he goes to this lady who talks with this, like, kind of voice box kind of thingy sound. She tells him, I need, you know, 5 caps. He has 4. So he goes and sells a tooth, comes back. He's like, oh, because this is a rush job, I'll give you 6. And she literally just with soldering iron goes, hands it to him. I'm like, that is perfect. That explains everything about this world. Everybody's there to eat you alive and everybody's there to fuck you over. And it is one moment. I don't think we ever see that character again on screen.
Nope. Yeah.
But it explains the world and I love it to death. Yeah, that this is a world that everything around it makes sense. They have yet to do anything that continuity breaks what they're establishing of Lucy, Vaulty. This world sucks and you shouldn't be up here. And I dig it.
Yeah, you're halfway through now. Do you have anything? Do you have any guesses or any predictions or what do you think is in store, or like what's your guess? And maybe whether we come back for another episode or not, you can look back and think, oh, I was really right about that or really not.
I already know the dog lives. That's what really matters. But I'm going to assume that towards the end, Lucy is challenged. The journey is about Lucy's conceptions of the world being challenged. I will make a prediction, though. I think this would happen. Lucy will actually say fuck. She said, gosh darn. She says, damn it. She says, okie dokie.
I was so tempted to get some of those sound bites, but I just did not have the time.
Yeah. I think she will say the word fuck and probably use it out of context because that's going to be adorable. My prediction is that it will somewhat turn into, I think the end of the show will end up being something along the lines of a wolf and cub thing where she and the ghoul end up together to continue to solve some kind of mystery, because I don't think they're going to find her dad. I mean, I think she finds her dad, but I don't think she resolves the entire story by the end of this. Like, I don't see, like, Moldover seems they have built up too much around her to have her be defeated like season one. I think she probably loses. Okay.
Then escapes to fight another guy.
And I think, and I hope that the last shot is like Moldova as the ghoul, Lucy, and CX-404 like running off together to go find an adventure, to go find her or something.
Okay, all right.
Kyle MacLachlan, I just think you don't cast him unless he's an evil guy. That's just his role. I'm also hoping that Maximus actually, it ends with him trying to better than Brothers of Steel, because he had a great little moment with his sire who used to be his bully. And so I'm hoping like the two of them like somehow bond together and maybe try to break the cycle of I beat the shit out of somebody beat the shit out of me, so I beat the shit out of somebody, so now somebody else needs to get the shit out of them. That, you know, the way he talked about his cycle of life, I hope that they're able to kind of like forge into the Brothers of Steel to do something good. Those are my hopes. But then again, this show has showed me that, you know, you can cut people's legs off and arms off, and I will praise them. They did something Game of Thrones never dared to do. A main character with a missing nose, because Peter Dinklage was supposed to have a cut off nose instead of just a gnarly scar.
I will say, though, that's not how like putting a finger back on works. You can't, it doesn't just work. It like, you know, you can't just like put a rotting finger on your stump and then you suddenly.
It's retro-futuristic technology that Matthew Berry has created himself as a robot. Come on, but I do want to say real quick that Alex, I'm glad you brought up the squire that replaces Maximus when he takes over as Titus. That squire is played by Johnny Pemberton, who most people would know as the baby daddy from Superstore.
I'm not going to
spoil anything. I just want to say, given the way that this world worked, when he showed up and I realized who he was, I was like, please let him die.
Does he?
I will not spoil it. But I just wanted to say, when he showed up, I was like, please let me get this satisfaction, because I know he doesn't die in Superstore. I need him to die somewhere, please.
Yeah, that's funny.
I just need some like displaced anger management here.
He's fucking good on Superstore, though.
Oh, yeah. He plays the annoying baby daddy very well. I will say that. But I just, anytime he opened his mouth, I wanted him to just disappear.
Yeah. So it's a must see for me. Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a very strong show. I was really, with anything like this, any big adaptation like this, I'm always really iffy on it. I probably said something very similar when we did the Last of Us episode. I'm like, we don't need this. It is that game is already so cinematic versus we don't need this. Like, this game doesn't need, is that's not what makes these games interesting or good. In a similar case, I was proven wrong. Although, you know, I definitely was intrigued once I knew Walton Goggins was around and I saw the trailers and stuff. But it really won me over, and I was very skeptical of it at first. So, you know, there's gore, there's adult themes, all that stuff, if that squicks you out. Some puppy stuff, like Alex mentioned. But if you can deal with all that, and you have Amazon, and you don't want a huge time investment, I would say it's a must-see.
Yeah, and best part is they throw all the ads in the front. They're like, oh, this sponsored by...
Don't get me fucking started on that. That's good. They shouldn't be there in the first place.
Yeah, interrupting is the worst. So I was appreciative at least that they were like, oh, this episode brought to you by this place. Ad free for the rest of the episode after 45 seconds. Here you go. So I was appreciative of that.
I'm glad I pay $120 a year so they can try and sell me Samsung phones beforehand.
All right. Well, Matt, please, we already kind of segued and we de-segued, but let everyone know about the Discord.
Yeah. Discord, big old chat room where it's basically this, but in text form. So if you're into that, if you like me never shutting the fuck up and Alex always trying to get a word in edgewise, then that's your place. Maybe that's where we'll take our final thoughts once Alex finishes. Maybe it'll be another episode, but if you want to make sure you get it no matter what, join the Discord. We're nice. We're fun. You know, don't tell my boss, but if I'm at work, I'm probably looking at the Discord. And I'm not being passive.
Alex, let everyone know about our sweepstakes that we're running.
We are running a sweepstakes right now that if you give us some good fight submissions for episode 150 that's coming in June, we will send you a free code for a copy of Marvel Midnight Suns.
You'll be entered in for a sweepstakes.
Sorry.
We're not giving everyone a copy.
Sorry. Yeah. You'll be entered into the sweepstakes for a free copy of, was it Marvel Midnight Suns? Yes.
Yes, a Steam copy of Marvel Midnight Suns.
Hey, can I ask a quick question? Can host get in on that? Can, like, the stars of the show?
Well, I mean, Alex and I, we don't need it, but I mean, semi-regular co-host, maybe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if you have an avatar.
You can follow us on social media at Talking Smack Pod on Blue Sky, Instagram, Threads, Hive Social, Post, News, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Lonnie's website. Alex, who's doing our remix?
You know what? In honor of everything, the remix is being done by Lucy McLean, because I'm pretty sure music is one of her talents.
Yeah, she wanted to be a pop star in the fourth one, didn't she?
Yes.
Thank you to Beppo for our original avatars, Retro Ale Studios for our Ricky avatar. Please like, subscribe, rate, review on your podcaster of choice. Remember, the only review you have to leave is, would you rather listen to our podcast or watch Madam Web? And most importantly, thanks to Matt and Alex for being here, and thank you for listening. Take care.
Watch Star Trek then Fallout.
I mean, I'd watch Madam Web.
Who loves T-Smack?
I love T-Smack. Is it true? Mm-hmm. I do. Ooh.
Rude.